Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, everybody. Welcome to part two of the message of Health According to the Scriptures. I played part one yesterday. If you want to hear part one, you can go to my website or go to the radio station, yesterday's message. Here's part two, Help According to the Scriptures.
Remember, the book is a book of opposites, good and evil. So Job 28:28 says, "And to man he said, see, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Evil is another word for sickness or disease. So depart from evil is understanding. And blessings go along with healing and health. So it goes here to say in Daniel 12:10, "Many shall be purified and cleansed through trials, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." We're going to be talking more about understanding and these words, understanding and wisdom. Tomorrow we'll be talking more about that. But we need the knowledge. In Isaiah 33:6, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the strength of Yeshua, and the fear of Yahweh, that is man's treasure." And what does it say in Hosea 4:6? "My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Here's the thing. The scripture doesn't end there. And in Hebrew, it doesn't say that we think, because we all have knowledge. Is anyone in this room that doesn't have knowledge? Raise your hand. You see, we all have knowledge. But we have worldly knowledge. What that says in the Hebrew is, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of the Torah," or Yahweh's instructions. And it doesn't end there. It goes on to say, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you for being priests for me. Since you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim, I also forget your children." People often ask me if there are things that run in people's family, like lung cancer, could that run in people's family from a physical ailment? I said, no. If your grandmother smoked, your father smoked, and you smoke, it's not lung cancer that's running in the family. It's your lack of knowledge and your smoking that's creating the issue. You know, so there's a common thing that needs to be broken, and we need the knowledge to break it. And then the other thing is laziness. Laziness is another reason. So I'd say lack of knowledge and laziness are two reasons why we're not accepting or receiving this information that we all have today. Proverbs 18:9 says, "A lazy person, it is bad as someone who destroys things." A lazy person, it is bad as someone who destroys things. And Proverbs 6:9 says, "How long will you sleep, O lazy one? When will you come out of your sleep?" So we look at this and we need to understand about eating and resting at the right times. And Yahweh's given us a true calendar that we need to follow. Not this calendar where we need to be on such division. But his calendar creates health and promotes health. It doesn't promote division and stress. And the calendar he gives us the sun and the moon, the night light and the daylight. And he tells us what to do during those times. So we need to rest, and we need to rest at the right times. Psalms 127:2 says, "It is useless for you to work all day so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for Yahweh gives rest to his loved ones." You know, and some versions say Yahweh gives his beloved sleep. And then it talks about him not being against rest, but we look at sleep and rest, and when it comes to health, you know, healing takes place during sleep, because that's when their blood is cleansed, and that's when we're being cleansed out, and that's when the healing takes place. So we need the proper amount of rest and sleep to get. And I would say a lack of energy or lack of sleep is probably one of the biggest things causing of people's poor health today, because when we're overeating, we're undersleeping, because then nothing takes more energy than food and digestion. So now we're undersleeping, not getting the proper amount of sleep. There's just not enough time to eat the way we eat, unhealthy, overeating at the wrong times, and get the proper amount of rest we need. So to a person of today's world, they say, well, I need more sleep, but I can't get it, so I'm going to drink coffee or some other drug to get myself through the day. But the real answer is, why do you need so much sleep? And the answer is, you're not following his plan. You know, and his plan is something called gluttony. You know, and overeating. And this creates a desire or need for more sleep and rest. If you eat less, you're sleeping less. Some people say, I know what you're saying to eat less, but I love to eat. I say, well, if you eat less, you know, you'll be healthier and you'll live longer and you get to eat more. You know, so we need to understand temperance and the importance of temperance and getting the right sleep at the right times and following his schedule and these things. But I'm going to give you three areas now of diet where we've went wrong as believers. Three areas. And so these areas we could focus on. One of them is we didn't stick to our Creator's design eating schedule. Now, some of you, since you've gotten to the Hebraic roots, you've gotten back into it. You started to understand what it says about clean and unclean animals. You're starting to understand what it says about these things. But for the most part, the first problem we have is we didn't stick to his schedule. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time for every purpose under the heavens. There's a time for everything under the heavens. And so here it is. But we're not sticking to our Creator's design schedule. We're not eating the foods he told us to eat. We're not doing the things he told us to eat, and we're not living the way he told us to live. So that's the number one area, not sticking to his schedule or what he told us to do. I have a book over here called The Daylight Diet, which is a biblical plan of eating our food. When he says in the scriptures, these animals are an abomination not to eat them. So not only is he telling us what not to eat in terms of the animals, but he also tells us when not to eat them. You see, when we look at the Bible and we read the Bible, we have to understand, you know, every single word is important, but there's things between the words that are important as well. Understanding the culture, understanding the times, but understanding simple logic will show us certain things he says that make it so clear. But he tells us to not to eat certain animals. He shows us how to identify those animals. But he also tells us not to overconsume. Don't be a glutton. He clearly shows in the scriptures. But he also tells in the scriptures, and it's proven scientifically. The science proves the Bible. The Bible doesn't prove science. But it's proven scientifically. The times and the amounts we eat in our meals affect our sleeping patterns and our sleeping schedule and our disease levels, so to say. So there's a time to eat our foods. I was surprised. I was like, wait a second. He not only tells what to eat, but he tells when to eat it or when not to eat it. And he absolutely does. See, there's a time for every purpose under the heavens. And so when I got that, I was thinking, wow, you know. And the real time to eat our food, according to the scriptures, is basically when we can see it. Digestion works best during the daytime hours. We should be going to sleep on an empty stomach. But what do people do today? They go to sleep on a full stomach and eat right before they go to sleep. And I'm telling everyone, obesity, insomnia, and just about half of the disease out there in the world today that people are suffering from would go away if people weren't eating late at night and before going to sleep. And that's a scriptural thing as well. People say, show me the Bible where it says not to eat late at night or not even to eat at nighttime. I say, if our Creator wanted us to eat nighttime, he would have made fruits and vegetables glow in the dark. Because before we, you know, if we didn't have all this artificial light and all this artificial products and everything else, we wouldn't be in a dark room right now eating. We'd be getting ready for sleep or something. We're living so far against his timeline and the way he's saying to live. And we're suffering the opposite result of what he wanted us to live. Moses was climbing mountains at 120 years old. You know, those Israelites that left Egypt and were marching through the desert, they were in pretty good shape. Takes a lot of work to march through a desert. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be thinking, well, I live in a desert. I could march. No, it's not like this desert. They didn't have a store down a block where you could stop for water. Air conditioning, all this stuff. Uh-huh. So we got to get on his plan. So we need to make sure we're eating at the right time and the amount of food we eat each day. You know, today the average person will eat maybe 10 to 15 times a day. And you all think, not me. I say, well, there's no little man in the stomach saying, here comes a snack or here comes a meal. When you put food in your body's working. And you're not giving your body a chance to digest the previous food you've eaten. So this people say, well, I want to eat many meals throughout the day to keep my metabolism down. I'm like, well, why do you want to do that? They say, well, I don't want to put on weight. I said, maybe if you weren't eating so often, you don't have to worry about it. We're eating too much and too often and too late. We all need to eat. We don't even need to eat every day. It's been proven in Scripture. But one meal, maybe two meals a day, maybe three at most, with no snacking in between. Why do we need to eat more than that? Because we're used to it. It's a habit hunger. We're feeding our habit. There's people eat so often so late, there's actually something out there called late night eating disorder. Doctors are really giving people an excuse to eat late. Late night eating disorder. That's how bad it is. That's what people do. They just go. If you eat a salad in the afternoon, it's not the same thing as eating a salad at nighttime. It doesn't digest the same way. So we need to think about these things. There's even something called sleep eating disorder. That means somebody will get up. They won't wake up. They'll get up in the middle of the night, and they'll sleepwalk over to the refrigerator and eat without even knowing it. And then they'll go back to bed. I thought this was a joke, and it's a real thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow. I mean, from a diet standpoint, there's only one thing I could think of that worse than getting up in the middle of the night and eating and not knowing it. You know what that is? That's getting up in the middle of the night and eating and knowing it. And that's what people do. And then we could turn to our Bibles and look at the book of the gospel of the oxymorons, or the book of excuses, you know, and all these other books. You know? If we knew scripture the way we know our excuses for what we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, we'd be Bible scholars. So, but you know, and so we need to get rid of the things that are creating this problem. We need to get rid of the things that are making us eat late at night. Okay? So, now most people don't like listening to me or invite me back because I tell people how to eat, or according to scripture. Two things you don't want to tell people is how to eat and how to dress. I found that out. I said, Yahweh, put a message on me people need to hear. Okay, tell them what to eat according to my word. Okay. They didn't really want to hear that. Got another message from me? Tell them how to dress. No, they really don't want to hear that. But really, I mean, it's very clear in the scriptures what we should be eating, when we should be eating, and it's very simple how to pick it out, how to choose it, and what to do with it. So how do we get? We got to get rid of things that the things we're eating late at night. How do we stop eating late at night? Get rid of the things that are making you eat late at night. And number one is television. Television. TV. If you're going to watch it, don't watch it at nighttime. How many people can sit in front of a TV at nighttime without food in their hand? That's what the advertisers, they train their whole life to make you do that. And then you eat there, and this creates so many problems. You can't get to sleep because you've been watching TV too late. Just get rid of the whole TV. You know, you can keep the TV because, I mean, I got some DVDs, but the programming, you got to get rid of the TV programming. There's actually, I have a rule about TV, unless I'm on it, don't watch it. But TV is a real big problem. Get rid of that box, and you'll be much better off.
The commercials.
Exactly. You want another practical thing you can do is, how many of you own a juicer? How many of you use it? See the problem? It's not a dust collector. What does a Bible and a juicer have in common? Most houses have one. They just sit there collecting dust. You have to use them for them to work. You know, so we need to use that juicer. Get rid of your microwave and replace it with a juicer and use it. How many of you use microwave ovens? If you're using a microwave oven more than using a juicer, that's not a good thing. We need to get rid of the microwave is so bad, and you can just go on the internet and type toxic, why is microwave bad, and you'll get enough information on it. If you don't do one thing but tonight, just get rid of your microwave oven. If you take water in a microwave oven, wait till it cools down and water your plants with it, eventually your plants are going to die. It completely destroys everything in the food. It's the worst thing we can do for our bodies, microwave ovens. Get rid of it. So, if the TV is so bad and the microwave is so bad, you know what the worst thing you can put in your body is? A microwave TV dinner. We need to get rid of that. So we need to get rid of those two boxes before you end up in a third box, much sooner than you have to. So, but you know, have a plate. 75% of your plate is raw, ripe, fresh, organic fruits and vegetables, and maybe 25% of it can be cooked or processed. And if some of you choose to do so, a carcass or something, just make sure it's within Yahweh's guidelines. And eat the raw stuff first. That's it. It doesn't have to be that difficult. You have to work very hard to get sick. If you do very little, you'll be healthy. That's the amazing thing. If you just did nothing and just ate boring food, you'd be healthy. You have to work so hard and put so much food in your body to get to a state of sickness and disease. That's how far we've come from where we should be. So, which is the next thing, we didn't stick to Yahweh's diet plan in what we should eat. So now we're going to talk about when we should eat and how much we should eat. But we didn't talk about his plan about what we should be eating or what we shouldn't be eating. Well, as believers, we understand that he says his plan was in Genesis 1:29. Does everyone know Genesis 1:29? Genesis 1:29 says, "And Yahweh said, look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food." The seed-bearing plants and all the fruit trees for your food. That's it. Perfect, beautiful. Plan A of our Creator. Fruits and vegetables. Fruit that has its seed in it. So it can bear more seeds and bear more fruit. Not the hybridized stuff he tells us to avoid. The seedless watermelon, no. Get the regular watermelon. So when the people in the stores, they put more sugar in the seedless watermelon, and it's less convenient to eat the pits or take out the pits, now you have something that has less nutrients and more sugar. The number one reason why we have more diabetes today than ever else than before. More sugar and less nutrients. And it's convenient for us to eat it on top of that. You know, so the seeds balance out the sugars when you eat a watermelon the way you're supposed to eat it. They even have square watermelons now, so they don't roll out of the fridge. Really. That's what they make the square watermelons. It's just crazy. Convenience. Everyone wants convenience. So we need to stick to his plan. That is plan A of our Creator, fruits and vegetables as found in the garden. But then how are we eating? If you're eating too much fruits and vegetables, you've got a problem, because it says in the scriptures, Proverbs 23:20, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. This is why I often eat alone. Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. Gluttony, overeating, as I said earlier, is the number one cause we have with our food today. Overeating. There's no such thing as I eat good food, but I overeat. No, then you're not healthy. Overeating is just a clear sign of the scriptures of being content with what you have. Overeating is like, I'm not satisfied. I need more. I want more. And whether it's the chemicals that they're putting in the food and making you do that, the TV commercials that are making you do that, or you just trying to pleasure yourself because you don't have as much pleasure from other places, overeating is detrimental to your health. And I used to be one of those people growing up, and I've never met anyone overeat more than me. I used to be one of those people who say, oh, you're so blessed that you could eat everything you want and not put on weight. No, that's called a disease. Something's wrong with that. If you overeat, you should put on weight. But I was so sick, I wasn't able to. And I got myself to ended up almost dying from it with inflammatory bowel disease, an inflamed colon. You know, what was my biggest complaint when I was sick? You know, I can't eat anything now. It's all about food and eating more and more and more. You have to be careful with this. You know, I'm not going out and telling you have to fast for 100 days to be healthy. No, but understand, if you're eating 17 times a day, stuff that's made in a machine, chances are you're going to suffer. Some people say, oh, I find it amazing that somebody could eat a raw food diet and get better from cancer. I say, no, Yahweh built our body so amazing that we could eat McDonald's as long as we eat it and not get cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. You know, it takes a lot of work to get ourselves sick. And no matter where you are, no matter what a doctor has told you, no matter who you are here, you can reverse things. You can reverse things. I'm here to help every one of you. And I can publicly put that out there because most people don't follow up on it. I have books. I have over 1,000 videos online. I'm dedicated to doing this because I understand what it is like to be sick. And my best friend who suffered from the same thing I suffered from said, well, there's nothing else I could do, so I'm just going to cut my colon out. You don't have to listen to the doctors. And sometimes you should listen to them because sometimes they speak wisdom. Emergency room doctors are wonderful. If I get in a car accident, don't tell me to eat an apple. Send me to the emergency room. I hope the doctor there didn't hear my lecture. But if we put something in our body to create an illness, the answer isn't taking some drug to deal with it. The answer is to eliminate what caused the problem. Health doesn't begin with what we add to our diet. It begins with what we eliminate. Eliminate what caused the problem, and the problem will begin to go away. Everyone say eliminate.
11 a.m.
Now say it with enthusiasm.
11 a.m.
Great, I hope you all do that on a regular basis. Eliminate with enthusiasm. It's so important to make sure we're doing this. So we have to stick to his plan. So we understand fruits and vegetables are his plan. That's what it talks about, fruits and vegetables. Now, when we think about this, people say, well, what about meat? Well, what about animals? Well, what about carcasses? Can't we eat these things? I'm like, yeah. So I'm getting a little into my diet one tomorrow, but that's all right. But can't we eat these things? These animals, can't we be eating them? Well, what does Scripture say? Don't ask me. Does Scripture say we can eat animals? Absolutely. Does there guidelines on how we can eat the animals? Absolutely. Does it say we must eat the animals? Other than Passover, I don't see a command that says you must eat animals. So we have a choice. And do we want to settle for plan A of Yahweh? Or do we want to settle plan B for Yahweh? They're both his plan, but it's our choice. And as we think about this when it comes to the animals and what we should be eating, here's the confusing part. How many of you heard the word kosher? By raise of hands, how many of you ever heard the word kosher? Okay. By raise of hand again, how many of you actually know what that means? See the problem? That's the big issue. I am going to clarify this up for you right now very simply. There's three definitions of the word kosher. Three. The first one is biblical kosher. Biblical kosher means forget about what people said, forget about what anyone does. The Bible said it, it's written down. Then there's rabbinical kosher. Rabbinical kosher is some guy that looked like me has to bless it for it to be okay. Very little to do with Scripture. And then there's what something I call is common sense kosher. We are designed and told and commanded to be good stewards of our tabernacle, of our bodies. Everything leads up to that. I would say every single commandment that's given is for us to somehow prevail, taking care of our temple so we can win the race, survive to the end. And I'm not talking about the lifeless death because we will die, but we have a job to do to go and make disciples. And how can we do that if we're not taking care of our bodies? So common sense kosher would say we need to make a common sense choice. I was at a baseball game once and they had something called the kosher corner. These people on the line were the most obese, overweight people I've ever seen because it was all fried food and microwave food, but don't worry, it's kosher. Just because it's kosher does not mean it's healthy. There's a big difference. Man has given us and he's destroyed it. He's destroyed it. He's destroyed the soil that the food's grown in and he's destroyed the food that's grown in that soil. And we cannot fool ourselves. We have to stop making excuses. Kosher hot dogs, kosher potato chips are not healthy. You know, so yeah, there might be a certain fish in the Bible that's kosher. But if that's swimming in water, that's in New York City, there's no way that could be healthy for our body. The water in New York is black. There's no way anything coming out of an ocean could be healthy for us. The water is so dirty, you could jump in there with a naked and come out with a three-piece suit. It's not healthy. It's not common sense kosher. Right. The Bible said that fish has fins. It's not healthy. You know, so we need to make sure that we got this right. So common sense kosher is what's important. Something that's at least healthy for us. So if you decide to eat animals, make sure you're getting some grass-fed animals or some animals that are raised in an appropriate way. Guess what? Have fun finding that.
Yeah.
Stop fooling yourselves. Have fun finding that. It's very far and few between unless you have a neighbor who's a rabbi slaughtering the animals the right way. You're not getting kosher according to Scripture. And there are consequences for this. I went to a farm once and they had animals in the fridge for a long time. They said, oh, wow, where's your slaughterhouse? You know, and then you just shoot the animal in the head. That's not common sense kosher. That's not even biblical kosher. But then know who's questioning that. You know, so the safest way is, and it's not completely safe because of genetically modified organisms and GMO and all this stuff. But plan A is the safest way. And I'll tell you what, even with that, you still cannot get the proper amount of nutrition you need for your body without supplements. because man has destroyed the food so much. So no matter if you're eating a vegetarian diet or if you're eating fruit, animals, you still need supplements. So the choice comes now. Do I want to eat watermelon and bananas and take some supplements? Or do I want to eat a carcass and take supplements? And that's a choice you all have. But if you are going to choose a carcass, make sure you at least get it from a place that knew how to take care of it. So that's it. And then finally, the third way is we make an idol out of our food, making our food more important than we are. And that's a big problem and something we need to work on. You know, and we have role models in the scripture that talk about this, but basically, King Solomon said, remove me in Proverbs 38:9, remove me far from vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, take the name of my Elohim in vain. He had an opportunity for all the food in the world, and even him was wise enough to limit himself and not overdo it. People are making an idol out of their food, making their food more important than anything. You can't do that without Creator. You can't. I mean, you know, if somebody invites you to Shabbat, with the first question, you got food there? When is Oneg? What time's Oneg? First thing people learn about the Hebraic food. Oneg. I like Oneg. Friday night, you're gonna open up with a Shabbat dinner? So we need to make our Creator more important than food. You know, Jeremiah says in the scriptures, I love this verse, it says, Jeremiah 23:10-13, and there's one word that makes the scripture, it says, but he knows the path that I take when he has tried me. I shall come as forth as gold. My foot has held to his step. His ways I have kept and not declined. Neither have I backslidden from the commandment of his lips. And here comes the word, everybody. It says, I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. That word necessary is all the significance of that scripture. Without that word necessary, there's no significance to that scripture at all. But what he is saying in essence is, Yahweh's words are more important than my life, my sustenance. His words are more important. Wow. That is powerful. Jeremiah 23:10-13. So we need to know that. Now, if we get sick, it's great news to know that our Creator heals. He's a healing Elohim. And Genesis 20:17. And Abraham prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh healed.
Thank you for listening to this message, Health According to the Scriptures. I'm playing old audios this week for health. So please listen to the messages this week. If you want to learn about health and if you want to learn more, you can contact me at my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Are you or a loved one unable to live alone because of medical reasons? Albert's Manor offers accommodations for seniors or persons with disabilities. They provide quality and professional care in a beautiful, safe, and loving environment. You can reach them at 772-626-3500.
Hey everybody, this is Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Harbinger, The Return of the Gods, and now The Dragon's Prophecy. Join me with my dear friend, Paul Wilbur, who's going to be doing worship, an evening of praise and inspiration, and I'm going to be giving a prophetic word, and it's going to be at the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Day of Prayer, September 26th. In the Fenn Center at Fort Pierce, Florida. I'm going to be praying for Israel. I'm going to be praying for America in these prophetic times. For more information, go to tccalliance.com. That's tccalliance.com. I'll see you there. Shalom.